2020, Jesus still saves.
Amen.
Amen. I sure am glad. You can take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 9, if you would. Acts chapter number 9. And if you're like me, you probably have a multitude of emotions within you at the moment. I sure am glad that I know the truth to that song, Jesus Saves. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. But I also realize, as I know that truth, there's many in our world today that do not. And I don't know about you, but this morning, I feel a great responsibility for that. I'm just being honest with you. I struggled hard about what to preach this morning. I've got you in Acts chapter number 9, and I'm going to preach what I believe God wants me to preach, but I want to say something before I preach the message this morning, because I was torn, and I know what the Bible teaches, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and God helped me not to be a double-minded man, but I was torn this morning about what to preach. For the last two or three days, I'm not going to ignore the elephant in the room, right? I'm not going to act like I don't see what's going on in our society. I thought about not even mentioning it, but at the same time, how can you not? How can you not look and see what's going on in our society? Just before I left for church this morning, I just wanted to get one last reminder, and so I got on Twitter, and I just scrolled down through, and it didn't take about two or three scrolls, and I saw a business owner in Chicago being beat nearly to death in the streets, and it just broke my heart. As I looked at that, and I thought, goodness gracious, what in the world is going on in our society? I don't know if you realize that, many of you probably do, but I think it was Friday night. The Supreme Court of the United States voted 5-4, basically, that the church is non-essential. That ought to break our hearts. That ought to break our hearts, that that's where we're living today. You know what, though? As I thought about it, and I'm not going to preach this message, God, I pray. I'm going to pray here in a minute that I'm not messing up. But I almost preached a message this morning on being the salt of the earth. And I just want to say this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, he said, you are the salt of the earth. He said, but if the salt hath lost its savor, it's lost its saltiness. He said, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. I'm not so sure this morning, brethren, and I understand what I'm saying. I understand that the church of God is victorious. It's going forward, okay? Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's church is going to win. But I'm not so sure in our country. In our country, what we're seeing is that the salt has lost its savor. And it's being cast out, and it's being trodden under the foot of men. And I don't know about you, but as for me, I don't want to be an unsalty Christian. I want to be a salty Christian. And I don't say that the way your young people say salty. Salty means you're mad, you're angry, you're upset about something, right? I'm upset about something, I can tell you that. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say I want to be a salty Christian. No, I want to be a genuine Christian, somebody that God can use to purify, somebody that God can use to prod, somebody that God can use to preserve this country and this world in which we live. You say, Brother David, our country looks like it's just falling apart at the seams. Maybe it's because the Christians have quit preserving this great country. Maybe we've lost our savor and we're just being trodden under the foot of men. And I'm afraid that may be what's happening. I don't know about you. I believe I'm speaking to a group of people that do not want to be held responsible for the decay in this country, in this community, in this church, in our homes. I know for me, I don't want to be responsible for that. But I want to preach to you this morning out of Acts chapter number 9. And the message that I'm going to preach kind of relates to the two. I was really torn about what to preach. And then I thought, you know what? They go together. These two messages go together. Being the salt of the earth and what I'm going to preach to you this morning are very closely related. You see, the reason I believe that the salt has lost its savor, the reason that I believe that our country, and that's what I want to speak about today. That's where we live at. That's our Jerusalem. That's our Judea. That's our Samaria. That's our surroundings. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. The reason our country is in the mess that it's in this morning, the reason that our churches are in the mess they're in this morning, is because Christians have lost their savor. They've lost their saltiness. And the reason for that, I believe, is because very few Christians have a real relationship with God. And so I want to speak to you this morning on having a relationship with God. Acts chapter number 9. I want to read verses 3. We'll read down through verse number 8 and we'll pray and I'll preach the message that God's laid upon my heart. Verse 3, the Bible says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him," if you don't mind, I'm just gonna say this. No harm to the scripture, but I just feel in my heart I need to say this. David, I'm so glad that one day in my life, there was a voice from heaven. And it didn't say Saul, no, it said David. David, he called my name. I'm so thankful for that this morning. I'm so glad in this world that's in chaos, I'm so glad that I know who my Redeemer is. I know in whom I have believed. I have a hope that's steadfast and sure this morning. As I look around our society, and I may chase a few rabbits this morning, so to speak, but as I look around our society, I'm telling you, there's many emotions that go through me. When I look at some of the posts that people put on social media, and I'm not throwing stones this morning, but I would say to Christians this morning, hey, you ought to really think before you post something on social media. You ought to really be careful. You know, the Bible says a fool uttereth all of his mind. And I can tell you, I've been very foolish many times in my life. But God help me not to be so foolish as to utter my entire mind so that the whole world can see it and that it, once it's there forever. But can I tell you, hey, we're living in a time where I sure am glad. You know, I look out and I see some things. I know what I think about it. You may know what you think about it. There's some things I know what I think. There's some things I don't know what to think, you know. But I just know this. I know as I look out into this world that is chaotic, this world that is crazy. I look out into this world and I am so glad that there was a day in my life that a light shined from heaven, because if it were not for the good grace of God, if it were not for that call, that time where Jesus spoke to me, I could be out in those streets. I could be rioting. I could be protesting. I could be in the same condition that we see our world in today. But no, I've been called, and I want to speak about that here in a minute. But he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And let's pray. Father, God, you know my heart this morning. God, you know my desire. Lord, I just want to please you, God. And I pray that somehow, some way, God, that you would take this broken, this sinful vessel, God, and empty me of self. And God, cleanse me of my sin. And God, help me, Lord, this morning to be used as your vessel. Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak to the hearts of people this morning. Lord, I pray that if there's just one here, God, that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And God, for those that are saved, God, I pray that you would help us to grow closer to you. God, that we may be the salt of the earth, God, that we may not lose our savor. God, that we may preserve and purify, God, that we may make a difference in this world in which we live. God, I'm asking for your power and your presence upon this service. God, I realize that I'm not able, but I also realize you're well able. God, please do something in this place, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about something this week. I mentioned it to the pastor. Some of you may have heard about this. Some of you may not. I don't know. I've never heard of, I might even mess up the name. I think I wrote it down. Hawk Nelson. I don't even know. I don't see it in here. Anyway, is that right? Somebody's going to tell on themselves. It's a Christian artist. Rock, Christian rock artist. I don't listen to Christian rock. I want to be salty. Yeah. And I believe that movement is watering down the salt. I want to be different. It's not an accusation here. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying the church is supposed to be different. But there's a Christian artist, I don't know the name, I think that's the name of the group, but I saw it on social media. A preacher that I follow shared it, and it was disturbing to me. He's the lead singer of a group, and that may be the name of the group, I don't know. Some of you may know. I don't know. I don't know nothing about the group. I know it's sad regardless. I don't wish bad upon anybody. But this young man, I'm assuming he's a young man, this young man came out this past week, and he said that he no longer believed in God. He put a long statement on Instagram or on Twitter, on social media, and explained his coming to this place. And as I read through that statement, it just broke my heart, but it reminded me of some things that I want to speak about this morning. As I read it, I couldn't help but really think that the underlying issue in that statement that he made was what I'm speaking about this morning. And that was this. This man did not have a relationship with God. And I'm not throwing any stones. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not really even digging beyond the surface. That's basically what he said, is it not, Pastor? I asked Pastor if he read the statement. He read it too. And basically, that's what he said. He said that he just did not have a relationship with God. And you know, as a youth pastor, as someone that's worked with young people for over 10 years now, I'm afraid that's one of my biggest fears, that's one of my biggest concerns being in youth ministry, is that there's a lot of young people that are growing up in good homes. This young man grew up in a good home, it looks like. His dad was a pastor. He explains his life. He says, church was my life. Church wasn't something we did on Sunday. Church was something we did every day. He said, church was our life. He said, all I know is church. All I've known is God. All I've known was you know, Christian. He said, the word Christian has always been attached to my name. But he said as he grew and got older, he really had a lot of questions about Christianity. And he said that he talked about it being a sweater, and he kept pulling the string, and he finally got to the place where he pulled the string and the sweater came apart, and he realized that he no longer believed in God. You know what he was? He was religious, but he didn't have a relationship. The biggest fear I have, maybe in this world, Pastor, there may not be a bigger fear in this world to me than to think that I'd raise those children right there to be religious but not have a relationship. See, Paul was religious. Paul knew the law of God. He knew what the scriptures taught. Paul knew the Old Testament law. Paul said of the Pharisees, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, touching the law blameless. Paul said, hey, I knew the talk. I knew the verses. I could sing the songs. I knew how to dress for church. I knew all that stuff. I was brought up at the foot of Gamaliel. I can't even say his name. One of the greatest teachers of the Old Testament law. Paul said, hey, I knew. And I'm afraid that we're living in a time where many young people are growing up in a very similar situation as the Apostle Paul did. Hey, they know the Old Testament law. They know the scriptures. They know their Bible verses. They know the songs. They know the slogans. They know how to be a Christian. They're very religious. But can I tell you, some of them do not have a relationship with God. And I'm telling you this morning, there is nothing in this world more important than what I'm speaking to you today. If I had one message to preach to you this morning, what I would preach to you is, hey, you better have a relationship with God. You know what's wrong with this world today? You want to know what's wrong with the United States of America today? We're living in a country where very few people have a relationship with God. Can I tell you, hey, the next election's not going to fix our country. Legislation is not going to fix our country. New laws being passed is not going to fix our country. I'm all for all of those things. I think you ought to vote. I think we ought to legislate. I think they ought to pass laws. But can I tell you, hey, the Constitution of the United States is not the answer to our problems. No, it's this book right here. It's the commandments of Almighty God. It's this church right here. It is Christ on the solid rock on which it stands. It's Jesus Christ. Hey, that's the answer. That's the answer this morning. We got to have a relationship with God. The Apostle Paul had a relationship with God. Oh, he was very religious at one point in his life. I mean, he was a fanatic. I've taken so many fanatics to youth conferences and to camps over the years. I've been in Christian service long enough to see many religious young people. But when the time came, they found out they did not have a relationship. They went down the same journey that this Christian rock artist that I'm talking about this morning. And I'm not making this up. He said it himself. He said, I had no relationship with God. And I'm scared to death there's some young people this morning. I'll go beyond young people. I'm scared to death there's some older people this morning that are very religious. Oh, they know how to talk. They know the Christian lingo, but they do not have a relationship with God. And it's so important. It is essential. It is essential. Let's look at it. The beginning of a relationship. Verse number 4, we see, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I put there the call. The call. Can I ask you this morning? I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want to ask you this morning. Please, young person, hear me. I pray that you'll listen to what I'm saying this morning. Don't listen to me. Listen to God. Listen for that sweet, small voice that wants to speak to you this morning. Have you ever heard the call? Has God ever called you? Not a Sunday school teacher, not mom and dad, not some preacher, no, God. Has God ever called you? He called Saul. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, there was a call. And I wonder this morning, have you ever heard the call? Has God ever called you? Like he did Samuel in the Old Testament. Samuel, Samuel. He called him. Thank God for that call. I'm so glad for the day. I can't say it enough. October the 16th, 2005, I heard the call. Oh, he'd been calling before. I wasn't listening. See, some of you, he's been calling you, but you're not listening. And I'm telling you this morning, hey, listen to the call. I'm so glad I finally, he took enough things out of my life, enough distractions out of my life that he could have my undivided attention, and I heard his call. Can I tell you, maybe that's what's going on in our world today. Hey, maybe God is trying to get some people's attention and get their eyes off of sports and get their eyes off of events and get their eyes off of activities and get their eyes on eternity and hear the call of God. He's calling. Not only that, there was conviction. One man said, I believe it was William Booth. The sin of the 20th century, is that what he said? Was conviction, was conversion without conviction. Conversion without conviction. He called him, but he convicted him. You say, how do you know that, Brother David? Look at what it says. It says, he said unto him, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Say, what are the pricks? That's something they use to get a cattle or a horse or an animal to move. They would prick them, right? And he said, hey, he said, Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks, Paul? I've been pricking you and I've been pricking you and I've been pricking you, Paul. I've been trying to convict you. Why are you kicking against the pricks? It's when the animal would kick as they were pricked. They would kick back. They didn't want to do what they were being told to do. And I'm afraid this morning there's some people in our churches that God is calling and God is convicting. You know what they're doing? They're kicking. They're kicking against the pricks, and God's trying to get their attention. I believe that when Jesus says, Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? I can't help but think that goes back to Acts chapter number 6 when he stood there and Stephen, the Bible says heavens opened up and Stephen saw Jesus standing there and Stephen said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. He said, basically, that's what he said. Stephen said, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And Saul, the Bible says, was standing there holding the garments of Stephen, and I believe that it pricked Paul in his heart. I believe Paul at that moment began to get under Holy Ghost conviction and realize, oh, I'm messing up. And then eventually Jesus came to Paul and he called him and he convicted him. And thank God, hey, he converted him. Have you ever been converted? Have you ever truly been converted? Changed by the grace of God? Went from a religious relationship, went from religion to a relationship. It's essential. It is essential. Paul got converted. I find this interesting in verse number 7. Look at what it says. It says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. You know, just a couple months ago, I was teaching on this in Sunday school, and I had never seen this before, Pastor. I'm sure it's been preached. I just wasn't listening, right? But I never saw this before, and God showed it to me. You know, those other men were standing there, and they heard something. I think somewhere else in the Bible it actually says they heard it as it were a great noise. Paul said it was unaudible. They couldn't understand what was being said, but they were there. They were standing there. They saw it happen. They saw Paul fall to the earth. They heard something. They knew something was going on, but you know what? It didn't change them. And you say, what does that mean, Brother Dave? That means this morning, God Almighty could call somebody's name. He could convict somebody of their sin. And he could convert some soul from an eternal, dying, ever-burning hell to an eternal abode in heaven. And there'd be other people standing around and not even see it. Hear it, but not really hear it like he did. You know what I'm saying? Lost people standing around. You can witness to it. You can have a group of lost people. This whole auditorium could be filled up this morning with lost people. I don't think that it is. But this whole auditorium could be filled up with lost people this morning, and you could preach the gospel. And you know what? There could be one here, one there that hear the gospel and get convicted and get converted. And there could be others standing around, but they don't quite hear it. They see it. They're standing there. They don't get it. I hope that's not you. But see, Paul got converted. He went from a religious lifestyle to a relationship with the Lord. So we see that, the beginning of a relationship. Number two, and this is really my message, the building of a relationship. The building of a relationship. You see, I talked about it in the beginning. We need to be salty Christians. We need to be savory Christians, right? And you say, how are we going to do that? By building a relationship with God. I'm only going to be as salty. I can't even say that. That's the new lingo. For those of you that don't know, the new lingo, salty means, you know, somebody's upset. They're you know. Did y'all know? How many of you knew that? All the people, the millennials, right? I wouldn't know it if I wasn't a youth pastor, but they keep me up to date with all the, I say stuff and they look at me like, and they're all giggling. I'm like, so what did I say? Okay, what did I say? Somebody enlighten me on what I just said, right? So salty, that's what it means. Somebody salty, right? I can't even say it seriously, but God wants us to be savory, amen? And you say, how are we going to do that? We're going to have a relationship with God. We're going to have to build that relationship. We're going to have to work on that relationship. We're going to have to get close to our Savior. And that's what Saul done here. Paul, that's what he did here in Acts chapter number 9. Let's look at it. Number one, I want us to see this about building a relationship with God. Hey, it takes the saints of God. Look at verse number 10. It says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed. He said, hey, Ananias. Ananias is another Christian. He's a saint of God. But God said to Ananias, he said, Ananias, hey, there's a guy down there that I just got born again. It just got saved. He just got converted. And I want you to go help him. Say, how am I going to build on my relationship with God? You're going to have to get around the saints of God. We got to get around the saints of God. Hey, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It does matter who we spend our time with. See, there may be some people here this morning. Now, I don't want to minimize the fact that I believe. I don't want to talk somebody out of getting saved this morning. Hey, if you've never had a call of God on your life, you've never been convicted by the Holy Ghost of God and never been absolutely converted, I mean changed by the good grace of God, if you're not a new creature, because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, if you've never became new, then you're probably not saved this morning. And so I'm not trying to talk you out of that, but I am going to say this. There are some folks that get saved by the grace of God, but they don't build on that relationship because they don't get around the saints of God. That's why the church is essential. And we can't expect the world to understand that. But we should. You say, why are y'all so, and I believe most of you wouldn't be here if you didn't think so, but I'm sure there's some people, there are some churches in our world that say, why are y'all so set on meeting together? Why are y'all so set on having church together? Don't y'all know that you could cause harm upon other people? I'll tell you why we are so set on meeting together, because we understand it takes the saints of God to grow and build on our relationship with God. He says, exhorting one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. God said, hey, you need to be exhorting one another. You need the saints of God. Paul, God sent Ananias to Paul. Not only Ananias, but others. Look in verse number 19. It says that when he received meat, he was strengthened. Then saw certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. If you're going to grow for God, if you're going to build a relationship with God, if you're sitting here this morning, you say, Brother David, I know I'm saved, but I can't get past this. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels and I'm not growing as a Christian. Can I tell you this morning, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to get around the saints of God. Spend your time with Christians. Get around your Sunday school teacher. Get around your preacher. Get around some good godly Christian and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It takes the saints of God. Number two, not only that, it takes supplication. Look at verse number 11. It says, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Here's a brand new baby Christian. It's almost hard to call Paul that. But he just got converted. And what's he doing? Praying. Paul understood, man, I got to pray. I got to get a hold of God. I believe Paul heard that voice from heaven on the road to Damascus. Saul, and he said, man, I got to hear that voice again. I want to talk to that guy again. I want to talk to God again. And if we're going to grow and build our relationship with God, there's going to have to be some supplication in our life. We've got to spend some time in prayer with God. I wonder how many people prayed this morning. I don't say that to be mean. But we wonder, why are they shutting down the churches? Why is the church deemed non-essential? Maybe because it is. Maybe some churches are non-essential. Or maybe some Christians are non-essential. And you know what I'm saying. Don't try to misread what I'm saying. I understand that every child of God is important, but I'm just telling you, if we're not careful, we'll make ourselves non-essential. We need to get God in this thing. I can tell you this last couple of days, it's really drove me to praying. Because I realize this thing's bigger than us, brethren. This thing's bigger than us. And it may be 100, 200, 300, 400 miles away, but when I watch those videos, you know what I see? I see souls that Jesus died for, people that he loves. Yeah, they might be people we disagree with and we don't understand their logic and their thinking, but can I tell you, there's a God in heaven that loves them and he wants to save them and he wants to change them the same way he did you and I. And let's get this straight. This has nothing to do with color. This is about culture. It's not about color. It's about a lifestyle. It's about a way of life. I live that life. I live that life of sin and of not knowing God and that life of just unhappiness and anger and bitterness. And I didn't know what was missing. And I thank God that one day God showed me I'm what's missing. And so we see, we got to supplicate. We got to pray. Number three, I got to move on. Building a relationship with God, it takes the saints of God. It takes supplication. It takes supplicating with God. It takes solitude. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Hold your place here. Go to Galatians 1 real quick. Galatians chapter number 1. Look at verse 18. Well, let's look at verse number. Look at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Thank God. There it is again. He called him by his grace. I'm telling you this morning, if you've been called by his grace, that ought to just do something for you. He's been called by his grace. He said, Paul couldn't stop talking about it. You know, this event on the road to Damascus, I mean, Paul just could not stop talking about it. I was reading just this past week in Acts where they were taking Paul and they were going to try him before everybody. And the Roman soldier took Paul and they drug him. It was a mob. And I was thinking about that actually when I read it. That's why I was seeing some of these mobs and I started looking at some situations in the Bible where there was riots and there was mobs. And there's one in Acts where there was a mob wanting to tear Paul apart, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Bible says they were literally going to tear Paul in half, and a Roman soldier took Paul and got him away from it. It actually literally says that he put Paul basically on his shoulders and carried Paul away from everybody and got him inside the building. And you know what Paul said? Paul said, hey, can I say something? That's what he said. Paul said, hey, man, can I speak for myself? I just want to say something. Say, what'd he say, Brother David? He said, hey, can I tell y'all about one time when I was on the road to Damascus and a great light shined from heaven and God convicted me of my sin and he converted me into his kingdom? Paul said, hey, can I just tell you about what happened to me? Amen. Thank God. We ought to never stop telling people about what happened to us. Amen. I mean, Paul said, I just want to say something. I just want to tell them what happened to me. You say, Brother David, I get so sick of hearing about October 16, 2005. Our teenagers, they can quote my testimony for me. October 16, 2005. Oh, you were this, you were that. You walked into the back of Bethel Baptist Church and pastor preached and God got a hold of your heart and you left there and you cried the whole way home. And then you got home and you were sitting in the driveway and Brother Calvin called you up and asked you, could he come by and pick you up? And took you up to a pick and pack parking lot and you got saved by the grace of God. Brother David, I've heard it so many times. Well, hey, stick around and you're going to hear some more because by the grace of God, I'm not going to stop telling people what happened to me. The greatest day of my life when he called my name. Hey, if Paul could keep telling them, then bless God, I can keep telling them and you can keep telling them and we ought to keep telling them. Paul said, I just want to tell them what happened to me. Amen. He said, I just want to tell them what happened to me. It's a mob, Paul. They're trying to kill you. I know, but I just want to tell them what happened to me. It may change them. Paul said, hey, I'm a debtor. Paul said, I'll go to Rome. They said, Paul, they're going to kill you in Rome. He said, none of these things move me. He said, I've got something to tell them. I got to tell them, Paul. Paul said, there's a necessity that's been laid upon me. Man, that verse in John chapter 4, verse 4 has just been burning in my heart all week, Pastor. I'm telling you right now, brethren, Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. That's how we ought to feel when we see this world and the condition it's in, when we see these lost souls out hurting and looking for some answers. There ought to be a fire burning inside of us that says, I must needs go through Samaria. I must needs go tell somebody about Jesus. God, help us to get the gospel out. Man, I've gotten off track here. The saints' supplication. Galatians, I didn't even read the verse to you. Listen, I left it. Galatians chapter 1, you're there. I'm not. How many of you still there? Amen. Praise God. Look at it. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I had to skip that verse where verse 15, he said he called me by his grace. Because I just can't quite get over that. I'm just having a hard time getting past the fact that God would look down at an old sinful person like me and call me by his loving grace. I just can't get over that. God help us never to get over that. I mean, if that's all I say this morning and we just pray and we go to the house like some people probably wish we would, I'm telling you, that's enough that's been said this morning. Thank God that God in his grace would reach down and call us by his grace. Amen. Goodness, I don't ever want to get over that. He called him by his grace and he said to reveal his son in me. He said, Paul, I called you. Now let me say this. Hey, he didn't call us to put us up on a pedestal. No, he called us to put him up on a pedestal. Can I tell you, this thing is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He said, Paul, I called you because I want to reveal my son in you that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned unto Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. You can go back to Acts chapter 9. You say, Brother Dave, why did you read that verse of scripture? Because I believe this. I believe somewhere in this scenario in Acts chapter number 9, I'm not exactly sure where. I know where I think it was. But I'm not 100% sure. But somewhere in this scenario, Paul left for 3 years and got alone with God. He got alone with God in solitude. I'm talking about building a relationship with God. I'm almost done. I'm talking about building a relationship with God this morning. Hey, you know you're going to build a relationship with God? You know, I'm going to build a relationship. I mean, I need this morning. I'm just telling you, God's been really dealing with my heart because I'm just as responsible. I just feel a responsibility for what's happening in our country. The fact that the Supreme Court revoked the church is not essential, that bothers me, but I feel a little bit of responsibility. I feel like I haven't done my part as a Christian, as salt. Maybe you don't feel that way, but I do. And I want to get closer to God. You know when we get closer to God? We have to get alone with God. We have to shut that cell phone off. Guys that work with me watched the service outside, and they said, man, I thought for sure you was going to sling that cell phone down through the woods. If you were here that night, I took it out, and I almost did. But then I was like, man, Adam, I have to go over there and look for it. It would be here until dark, man, him out there searching around the woods for my phone. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, sometimes we just got to turn that phone off. Turn that stinking cable off. Turn Fox News off. Don't even turn CNN on. Can I get amen right there? Goodness gracious, don't even turn that on. Unless you're trying to get a burden. Might do you some good then. But I'm telling you right now, hey, sometimes we just got to turn that TV off. Young people, turn them stinking video games off. I said it last time. I said, crush that thing. Parents, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. If anybody went home and crushed their video game and I owe you some money, you let me know. I'll owe you some money still, right? But I'm not saying, my son Adam, we got in the vehicle. I got to say this. We got in the vehicle, and Adam said, Daddy, are we going to get rid of our Xbox? He has an Xbox. I said, no, son, we're not getting rid of our Xbox. We're just going to do it in moderation. And that's all I was trying to say. Everything is okay in moderation. He has some screen time, and that's all. And I have some screen time with him sometimes, and I can't take, my screen time is actually longer than my whatever. I wear out before my time wears out. Does that make sense? Amen. I can only take so much of it. But anyway, I'm just saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. If you have it and it don't have you. But I'm telling you this, if that thing's got you, if you're a young person in here, or better yet, let me go beyond that. If you're younger than me and you're in here, because there's adults. One of the guys that worked with me brought that up too. They critiquing my preaching, right? Maybe they're listening today. He said, man, you talked about young people. He said, I'll tell you, it's some adults that got a problem with video games. If you're an adult in here and you got a problem with a video game, you can't get alone with God because every time you get alone, you want to turn that Xbox, that PlayStation on. Hey, you need to get rid of that thing. We got to spend some time with God. Get alone with God. Set down the cell phones, the electronics, the distractions. I mean, we all have them. They're different for everybody. I'm just saying, Paul said, I'm going away for 3 years. And Paul said, I'm going to get alone with God. Solitude. So the saints supplicate in solitude. The scriptures, Acts chapter number 9, you're back there. Look at verse number 20. It says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." You see, he preached Christ and the synagogues. You know what Paul started doing? I believe with all of my heart. Paul knew that Old Testament inside and out. He said that. He said, I'm touching the law of blameless. Paul knew the Old Testament law, but I believe this. I believe when Paul got saved by the grace of God, I believe he got in those scriptures. Maybe during that 3 years that he was in solitude, Paul got in those scriptures, and you know what he started doing? He started seeing Jesus on every page. He said, there he is in Genesis. There he is in the garden. There he is in Exodus. There he is at the Red Sea. There he is at the Passover. There he is in Leviticus. There he is in Deuteronomy. There he is the scapegoat. There he is. He just went down through that Old Testament law. Paul said, there he is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And Paul went into the synagogue and he preached Jesus. He got in the scriptures. Talking about building a relationship with God. We got to get in the scriptures. We got to get in this Bible. Get our face in the book and out of Facebook, right? That's getting old, Brother David. The young people, they've been saying that for 10 years now, right? Okay, well, some people are still on Facebook. They haven't moved on to the bigger and better things, right? Bigger and worse things, actually. I won't go into all that, but I'll tell you this, parents, you got young people, you ought to really check into some of the social media stuff. I'm telling you right now, TikTok. Yeah, Brother David, TikTok. I said, move on, okay? I'm telling you, hey, Snapchat. I'm telling you, you better do your research. Maybe you do. I'm just warning you. That's a side note. He said, the scriptures. He was in the scriptures. The synagogue, look at verse 20. And straightway, he preached Christ where? In the synagogue. So how are you going to build a relationship with God, Brother David? In the house of God. Paul got in the house of God. As soon as Paul got saved by the grace of God, Paul said, hey, I got to get down to the house of God. Paul said, I'm going to the synagogue. And you know what? If you'll read through the book of Acts, you're going to see Paul over and over and over again going into the synagogue. Paul said, hey, I got to get to church. That's why it's essential. And that's why you're here. I know that. But it's very important that we get in church and stay in church. Internet doesn't do. Right? Facebook Live's not enough. Now, I understand some people got to do it and thank God for it, but if you can get to the house of God, and I see you're here, hey, we ought to be in the house of God because we need it if we're going to build a relationship with God. The synagogue. Look, service. We're going to build a relationship with God. We have to serve God. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God said, hey, you go, Paul. Hey, you're going to be a chosen vessel for me. That's what he told Ananias. He said, you tell Paul, he's a chosen vessel for me. You know what a vessel is? That's something that God uses. We say, hey, I want to be a clean vessel, meet for the master's use. He said, Paul, I want you to serve me. You know what Paul done from Acts chapter 9? You know what you're going to see Paul do the rest of the book of Acts, all the way to 2 Timothy, when Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. You know what he was doing? Serving God. Serving God. You want to grow in your relationship with God? Serving. Serving. Find some way to serve God. Get involved in the work of God. Some people are not growing in their relationship with God because they're not serving God. We got to serve God. And then last, this one is scary. And I'm done. Look at verse 16. Talking about Paul. He said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look at verse 23. It says, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. For sake of time, I won't turn there, but many of you are familiar with the passage of Scripture where Paul talks about how he was beaten. He was left for dead. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been in prison. I mean, Paul said, hey, I had it rough. Do you know why? He was growing in his relationship with God. You know what God will use sometimes in building our relationship with him? Suffering. I couldn't help but think about you, Pastor. I'm done. Hang with me, please. I couldn't help but think about our pastor. I don't know about you, but it's been evident to me over the past couple weeks that God has just really, really been meeting with our preacher. And by his own testimony, it was caused by some suffering. Shingles, couldn't sleep. I mean, told us himself. One night he asked God, "What's going on, God?" And can I say this morning, there's some people here, and I don't know what you're going through. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I do not know what you're going through. There's some people underneath the sound of my breath this morning that are suffering in their body, in their mind, maybe emotionally, somebody they care about, a loved one. I mean, there's just some suffering going on. And you say, what is God doing? I don't know everything God's doing, but I know one thing God's doing. He's trying to build a relationship with you. It scares me. It really does. I tell Brother Brandon all the time, it scares me. When I read my children, we've got them reading some biographies on some missionaries, and they know more about the missionaries. And I just sit at the table and I try to act like I know, and then Leah starts saying, no, that's not that one. I'm like, gosh, go on somewhere. Hut. It is too that one. He did too go to China. It wasn't India. Oh, yeah, it was India. Okay, I'm sorry. Right? But you know what, every one of them, I mean, there's a running theme. Almost every one of those biographies that my children are reading, Leah's reading most of them, suffer. Some of the people that God's used the greatest have suffered the most. I mean, I read about Adoniram Judson and about Hudson Taylor and about C.T. Studd and about David Livingston and about George Mueller and about Amy Carmichael. And I've read about some of these. I need to read more about them, but I read about some of these missionaries and even people that we know in our day. I mean, some of the people that God has used the greatest have suffered the most. And so God will use suffering. Paul suffered. I mean, Paul said, I was given a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I, you know, exalt myself. Paul said, lest I think too highly of myself. God has made me to suffer. And God will use suffering sometimes in our lives. So all I'm saying is I don't want to suffer. But I'm just saying this. If you're suffering, maybe you ought to look at it and say, as Pastor said, what's going on, God? Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. You got my attention, God. What do you want to do in my life, God? See, we're talking about building a relationship with God. It takes the saints of God. It takes supplicating. It takes solitude with God. It takes the scriptures. It takes the synagogue. It takes serving God. And sometimes it takes suffering for God to build a relationship with God. You say, well, and I'm not going to preach my last point. The beginning of a relationship, the building of a relationship, and then last, I'll just read the verse of Scripture, the blessings of a relationship. Look in verse number 30. It says, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, and then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You know, the Apostle Paul greatly affected many people's lives. You read through the rest of the book of Acts. I mean, Paul had such an impact on other people's lives. Why was it? Why did Paul have such a great impact on people's lives? It wasn't Paul. It was not Paul. It was the relationship that Paul had with God. Paul knew God in a relationship. And God used Paul in a great way. He's still being used today. We're still talking about the Apostle Paul today. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. Can I tell you, I believe if we build our relationship with God, it would have a huge effect on others. We've got to get close to God. I believe the salt has lost its savor. Some people's lost their savor. Hey, let's get our savor back. Build on our relationship with God. And we'll have an effect on other people's lives. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Hey, quit trying to build on sinking sand. See, I'm afraid some people say, well, Brother David, I've been trying to do that. That guy that I started with, I'll end where I started. That guy that I started with, Pastor could testify to it. At the end of that, I read it again this morning just to refresh my mind. At the end of it, you know what he said? He said, I realized that praying never felt right. Worship never felt right. Being in church never felt right. He goes through this list of things that never felt right. He said, I finally come to the realization that it was because it wasn't real. But see, I'm afraid with the realization, and I pray that he does come to a realization that it's not that it wasn't real, it was he never had a relationship. See, there's people here today, you've been in church your whole life. And you've been trying to spend time around the saints, and you've been trying to get in the scriptures, and you've been trying to pray and supplicate, and you've been coming to the synagogue since before you were born, and you've done a lot of these things that I just talked about doing, but the thing is, you're doing them on sinking sand. You've got to start with a foundation that's steadfast and sure. It's got to be built on the rock. You've got to be saved. You've got to know Jesus Christ. Have you ever truly been saved? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that somehow, God, some way, you would take this message this morning. God, you would speak to the hearts of your people. God, I pray if there be any that's not saved here today, Lord, please, oh God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would call their name today, that they would trust you, Lord, that they might be saved. God, we love you. Lord, I do pray for our country, for what's going on in our world today. Oh, God, help us. Help us to act like Christians. God, help us to be the salt of the earth. Lord, I pray for this man that I've mentioned today. I don't know him, but God, I pray that you would show yourself strong to him. I pray you'd save him by your grace. God, I pray his testimony would change and he would tell about his journey to God. Lord, please, I pray. God, please speak to hearts today, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.